Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call...
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo, you're listening to Sheffield Live.
It turns out that the early reports were wrong. All wrong. Now, for that group out there that had such a hard time getting home, sorry about that. I guess the only thing we can do is...
This is Friday the 26th of June. Sweet Talking Sport. Radio chat show presented and produced by the one and only. Straight to the point. That deals with the latest news and stories. With both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society. Devoted entirely to sporting discussions. And events, whether local or national. Good to go, expansive, debates, analyse by myself this evening for the regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking chat show you'll ever hear. On point, you can listen live most Fridays, 6 till 7. And if you can't make that date, then you can catch it up on the archives. CV and G can't make it. This tune's for you. Swack it up. Yeah. You know, without further ado, you know, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep this broadcasting to yourself. You know? Kind of hot in here this evening, and you know, management said that I have to take dehydration breaks midway through this broadcasting. Breaks will be imposed by management regardless of weather conditions. This is the new approach from the committee in people's welfare. You know, well. Do you know what? I'm going to kick off with a little bit of tennis, really. I'm probably going to serve a few aces and stuff. But what's been happening on the tennis scene? And I'm going to put this to you. You can have your kind of discussions, whether you're out and about or just kind of chilling. You know, whether you're sat on your settee or in your hammock just rocking. Many of the top world's top tennis players, you know, continue to demonstrate, to protest, and restricting the media opportunities at Wimbledon. But are they right to do so? People might say, do you know what? They get enough corn as it is. How much more do they want? They've just had a 20% increase of prize money. Isn't that enough? Making it 64.2 million, right? And that was announced only a couple of weeks ago. You know, you've got leading players, including Sabalenka, right? Big gun. 28-year-old. Belarus. And also Sinner. Another big gun. And he's only 24 and he's at it already, the Italian. Right? So, what does this mean, really? It means that they're going to restrict match appearances for the media to 15 minutes throughout the week of the championships, which starts on Monday. You know, the men's champ, Sinner, previously said that issues, it's about respect. I think it's about con, really. You know what I mean? But that's how he wants to drop it. It's his prerogative, innit? Sabalenka says that both sides must come together to reach mutually benefit solutions. The beneficiaries are obviously going to be the tennis players. Not true. But after Wednesday's announcement, all the England clubs, the AELTC, this is what they said. We're surprised and we're disappointed. You know, the latest move, while BBC pundit Castle speaking out at Wimbledon qualifying coverage said it was tone deaf of the players. So what exactly are the players asking for? How will this, you know, affect these protesters? What will they look like at Wimbledon? You know what I mean? Can you imagine the footballers saying, do you know what? We want more corn. So what are we going to do, right? After the game, we're not even going to respect the crowd, you know? We're not going to have interviews. Match of the day gets licked and that, you know, when they're talking, doing player interviews and stuff and chatting to the management and that. We're saying, nah, we're not gonna do that. Just allow it, you know? But like I said, people will say, do you know what? These people, them just jam greedy. Greedy them greedy. You know what I mean? Having to protest. And like I said, only last week, 20% increase. What's that all about? Well, I tell you what, I kind of like delved into this. And the winner, they get what? You know, in prize money, this is what they get, according to what's out there. Yeah, 3,600,000. Yeah, I don't say that too lightly. Yeah, 3,600,000. Are we in the wrong business? Shouldn't we have a racket and a ball at the ready for serve 2 years? Yeah, runners up, 1,800,000. Semi-finalists, 900,000. Quarter-finalists, 450,000. They're kind of like kind of interesting things, isn't it? You know what I mean? But like I said, I'll put my own kind of little topspin on it. As soon as I said, yeah, we need kind of like, you know, respect. Oh dear, yeah. And it's also, you know, Sabalenka backing that up and saying that, yeah, you know, people just need to just come together and start it out. Like, say, it's just as easy as that. But who misses out? Is it, you know, the kind of like the number one kind of like faithfuls out there? Are they saying that, you know, we want to hear, you know, what they've got to say about their polling, how they're winning, you know, the route to Wimbledon, you know, how they feel, whether they're up for it, whether they think they're going to win. It's all going on at Wimbledon, you know. You know, the players are asking for a higher cut, you know, of the Grand Slam revenue. You know, what's the dedicated prize money, you know, but also contributions to their, you know, benefit pot, you know, as pros. You know, the issue with kind of like scheduling, you know, the events, the key numbers of players, they're asking each Grand Slam, right, to reach this year is 16% slice of each tournament, right? The revenue, what's devoted to the prize money in that kind of pot, that will obviously increase it by, I think it's going to be, you know, 22% by, say, 2030. Okay, so, yeah, we'll strip it down a little bit further. The players want a higher ratio, more money, basically. Acknowledgement of their contribution towards the financial success of the tournament. So they're saying, obviously, without them, no tournament. Yeah, I get that. You know what I mean? But don't forget the organisations, You know, they have their little play about, you know, introducing wild cards and stuff. They choose them. They invite them. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, let the players, you know, do the hard work, showboat their stuff. But we'll throw in a few wild cards as well. That's why they call it wild cards. So yeah, players' welfare is another area of great concern, particularly how much the Grand Slam contributes to their pension, you know, to their healthcare, to their, you know, maternity pots. Basically, beneficiaries, you know what I mean, of the Grand Slam. They're saying, you know, can we squeeze them a little bit more? I can imagine, like, they're kind of like, oh, you know, getting together and saying, you know, let's squeeze them. Can we drain it? Can we rinse that clot? You know what I mean? Forget more money, right? Meetings have took place between players and Grand Slam representatives, right? And this is kind of like where we are at the moment. You know, the players have made very little progress or no progress in their requests for beneficiary contributions and rejected a meeting in India. You know, back in March, to discuss the formation of the Grand Slam to the council. So they said, you know, we want to know how you organise this something. We want to know what percentages, yeah, Noisy Parkers, maybe, probably doing a Michael Caine on it. I mean, the revenue last year, believe it or not, that was 42.7 mil, yeah? 42.7 mil. And adjusting for inflation. I suppose it's like, you know, those who, you know, are grafting, working, receiving a wage, rate of inflation, you know, the union general says, you know what, we're going to award you 2% because there's not enough in the kitty. And then you have a little debate about it. And then the union said, well, actually, we're rejecting this because we know there's a little bit more in there and inflation rises. That ain't enough. So we're going to reject that. And you can take it back to, you know, the council and it can come again. That's how that works. So, yeah, they're asking for 16% of revenue committee to the prize money, which will equate to the part 70 mil. That's 2026 this year. Such as the amounts have been 34% rise. That was 53.5 mil prize money last year. Okay. Wimbledon has expanded this year. They've expanded the pot, like I said, 20%. And the total prize funds, 64.2, is the largest increase in the tournament's history ever. Yeah. That includes the 3.6 from the singles champs and the 80 grand for the first round losers. So you make the first round, you lose 80 grand's in there. And it's also my understanding that, and I've seen it happen as well. I'm a bit of a tennis fan, so I like to think that I know what I'm talking about. If you enter the tournament and you sort of like, you know, I don't know, say you warm up with your opponent who you're about to play, and then after 5 minutes, you have to retire through ill health, or, you know, something's not working right, or your injuries come back to haunt you or something, you will get paid, okay? But if you, before your match, if you say, do you know what, I'm not fit enough, I can't make it out there, then you ain't getting a cent. So that's why you used to see players come out. In fact, I don't know if they've changed that format now, but from, you know, your boot up, you have your racket, you have the ball, them, yeah, you have your juice, your little fruits and all them something there, what you have during your breaks, as long as you demonstrate that you're fit enough to hold that racket and you can get out there and you can, you know, just warm up, serving a few volleys and stuff. Test out your backhand, your front hand and all them slice business. You're quidsing in. And I've seen that time and time over again. Yeah? Over again. Seen it enough times. So, is it genuine from the players, you know? Because the prize money increase by 9.5 this year, French Open. And that was by 16%, the Australian Open, early January. So, players of protest, 15 minutes. Limit on media duties, yeah? Which means 50% revenue, French Open. That's what they currently offer. And it's all, I don't know, it's like, if it's not one thing, it's something else. I mean, like I said, Sabalenka was, you know, one of the big dupes to protest, you know, the prize money, what was offered, cutting short pre-season tournaments and conferences at the French Open earlier on. Several other leading players, like I said before, Sinner, if you've just joined, listen to Sweet Talking Sport, you can't hear CV, you can't hear G, you know what I mean? Just me one. I carry the swing. 18-16, talking tennis, we're talking about how top seeds, mainly Sabalenka and Sinner, protesting. In a nutshell, they're saying, do you know what, we're going to cut media, yeah, until we get what we want. You know what I mean? And, you know, who they're spying? Who they're spying? Spying themselves? I mean, the media not getting to get full coverage. I think they could hold out. Yeah, the media could just, like, cut their interviews and say, you know, I thought you played very well. What do you think to your bowling? Yeah, my opponent put me through it. Do you know what I mean? You know, good, tough match. See you later. Through to the next round. Thank you very much. So I think cutting that will just benefit the players, especially if you've won it and you need to kind of like recover. If you've got another tournament game the next day, the quicker you get out there, the more chance you have of recovering. You know what I mean? You know, so the grandstand rules state that, you know, all main draw players are required to participate in media opportunities. That is a requirement. So they're not breaching that. They're not saying, you know what, stuff you and your media. We'll chat, but we just cut the time down. So they've been very clever there, you know. Media sessions are meant, yeah, to enable players to put across their opinions of the performances and provide valuable exposure to media and the fans. So, you know, is it a case of spiting their fans or spiting the media? Is it a case of both? Yeah. A player can be fined up to 50k if they do not appear at all, unless a valid reason has been communicated to the governing bodies. Is a valid reason saying, do you know what, we're protesting? Is that a valid reason? Yeah. I tell you what, I've just won. I'm going to cut my time down. I'm going to give 15 minutes. Clock stops. Bang on time. Not a second more, not a second less. You get 15 minutes. So make sure, say your question, them ready. You know what I mean? Yeah. 18-19, Sweet Talking Sport on Friday the 26th. Do you know what? I wanted to bust some kind of like steel band business from the Steel Birds and just have that playing in the background, but it's something I read too tough, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's mixed kind of like feelings on that one. Chat a bit of boxing now, just slip into that, you know, rinse and repeat. Clock in, clock out, go again. Bit of a story, this one. Joe Cordia faces a court appearance in July. So I'm not ready for court yet, but he will be charged with assault, threatening a person with an offensive weapon in a public place. This guy's like we at Champ. Yeah? We're due to go out to the States 4th of July. You know? You know, who knows? Maybe out there now climatizing. You know what I mean? And taking in some of the kind of like World Cup too. Now, this guy is from Wales. An Airbus from over there have confirmed Cardenia was another man have been charged in connection with indecent, you know, at a petrol station, like this incident, suburbs of Cardiff, you know what I mean? And this is going back to, you know, last Feb. Cordia, 34, had been charged with assault and threatening a person with an offensive weapon. Yeah? And we're not talking about his lefts and rights. That's what he gets paid for. But he's thinking, well, these guys must be big dupes. You know? He's kind of handy with his fist anyway. So he's thought, he'll take a friend with him. You know what I mean? You know? He's due to appear at Cardiff Magistrates on the 7th of next month. Right? James O'Brien, 32, from Penrith, was also charged with assault and is due to also appear, you know, 28th. Cudia was due to fight an American, Mason, in Cleveland on the 4th of July, as previously stated. You know, United States Embassy, you know, in London, turned down its visa application. Yeah. So Cardia revealed in a social media post last Wednesday, I've not seen it myself, that he has been denied US visa, saying he was due to fly to the States. So, you know, he's not kind of climatizing to the heat. Probably might be doing it here anyway. He might be better off anyway. A couple of days ago, US Embassy in London basically denied him the visa. So he's spitting feathers now. We're saying, you know, I can't get my visa. Well, actually, he's been a bit of a naughty boy, apparently. Yeah, he said he tried to explain things and had all the paperwork to back it up, and wasn't, you know, they wasn't having any of it as well. So, you know, do we get out of violence? You know, Cordia was set to like fight Mace in his first defence of the belt he won in an epic encounter November. Yeah, the Cardiff-based fighter had been up to become a two-weight world champ. I think that's unlikely now because he's been a naughty boy, so he has to face it, doesn't he? Has to face up, you know? If you can't behave yourself out there, you know, he who knows it feels it, as so my mother would say. You know what I mean? And all the others out there who can clarify that. So, yeah, why can't these people behave themselves here? You know what I mean? Don't you think it's about time? Responsible boxer pushing his weight about. Now, listen, if somebody's bumped into him and he's looking a little revenge type of stuff, then so be it. You know what I mean? But, and I say but, it's going to have to, it's kind of going to have to watch himself, innit? Yeah? An assault, like I said, an offensive weapon, on top of that, can't keep his moat still. That's use threatening language anyway. And that's a former champ anyway. Doesn't look like he's going up to the States to have that tear up on the 4th. Following his incident outside a petrol station. Now, I'm not sure what there was chatting about. Were both guys juiced up? Were they on something? You know what I mean? Did one of them take the last bit of petrol or something? Who knows? Sweet Talking Sport, Friday the 26th. It's 18:24 CV, Angie, sadly, haven't made the cut for this one. But, yeah, show must go on. I want to give a little focus on Mr. Bellamy. That's Craig Bellamy. And I think this guy's going to be, got the makings of a top manager. He was at Burnley with Vincent Kompany. I think they did 2 years at Burnley. And then Vinny took them up, took them down, then got offered a buying job, and people were saying, eh? Bayern Munich for Vincent? Yeah, but do you know what? Look at his stats. Stats are wicked. And Bellamy, I think Bellamy was there for a little bit. But then Wales came calling. Yeah, so Bellamy was there with Vinny. 2022 to 2024. And, you know, I mean, Bellamy is what, 46? I think he's got a lot to offer. I wouldn't mind him down at the lane anyway. And I think, you know, some United fans will probably, I think the more will probably agree with me, especially what's happened recently. Well, we might come to that if we've got a bit of time. So the state of play is, because this is what I think, because Craig Bellamy, right, couldn't bring his backroom staff to Burnley with him, and the Welsh FA was set to receive 700 grand. And it's not that Burnley haven't got a con. I think they've got too much. Do you know what I mean? I mean, they are a typical, you could say, championship yo-yo side. Promotion, relegation, relegation, promotion. That's Burnley. And I think United need to fall into that category to build up some revenue also as well. So, I mean, this is where Burnley have got a con from, really, because it was really relegated from the Premiership. Do you know what? I think it's time for a little hydration break. You know what I mean? So, like I said, they come from the management, you know. These breaks are imposed by the management with the welfare of, you know, the broadcasters. A little hydration break, me soon come, yeah? Yeah, back in play. Why, that's better, that, you know. That work, that, you know. Little hydration. Seconds I get, you know. So, like I said, where Burnley get their calm from? Well, they were relegated back in 20. 20. When was they relegated? Last season, weren't they? I mean, relegation from the Prem is worth 120 mil, yeah. Plus, here it is now. On top of that, they was awarded 35 mil, and I know they're putting for a lot more than that. You know, I think they, you know, wanted about 50 mil compensation, but it must be a 3-man panel said, you've got enough already. So they was relegated 21-22 season. And what they said, what Burnley said is, we want some compo. We want some compensation following our relegation. So they argued their corner, yeah? Everton, you know, they was deducted 10 points. They stuck their hand up and they said, listen, we've complied with Unoman. So,
Yeah.
Whose side are you on? We're Everton. Yeah, we've got a new stadium. We can't have this. We can't be parading the stadium and at the championship. So come on, show some respect. So they said, all right, well, I know. This is what we're going to do. We're going to drop it to 6, right? So Burnley come back and said, you know what? If you'd have done that move in 2021, 2022, yeah, we would have had a greater chance of avoiding relegation, yeah? And like we said, they got a cool, what, say, minimum 120 mil. Everton finished the season, on, say, 39 points. Burnley finished on 35. So Everton finished 4 points higher. So you're talking basically a win and a draw. Yeah? That's nothing, that. That's nothing. So what I'm saying that, you know, Burnley, they've got the dosh. They can splash it. Come on, Clarets. Yeah? If you want your man, yeah? If you want Bellamy, let him bring his staff with him. I think it's all down to that, right? So we've got some issues there, really, with this, because there's reports that, you know, Bellamy's had his head turned. I can remember Bellamy saying, do you know what? I'm kind of signed up with the Welsh FA. I'm not going nowhere. Yeah, because I'm sitting nice. So Burnley turned his head. They said, we can offer you 3 times the amount what the Welsh FA can say. So they're flexing their chests already. And they're saying, yeah, watch Fui money bag. We have it. And you can have some of this. So Bellamy scratched his head, yeah? He's had his head turned. And he's saying, yeah, why not? Can I bring couple man with me? Can I bring my backroom staff? And I've said, you know what? Maybe we can work out something. Yeah? But then Burnley have said, well, actually, we kind of like these guys because, you know, we want so-and-so to do this and so-and-so to do that. So Craig said, well, I'm not sure about this now. And then, like I said, Celtic, you know, there's kind of like rumours saying Celtic are hovering round. And they're saying, yeah, well, if they're offering you some corn, we can offer you it too. So the deal with Burnley collapsed. It's fell through. So the championship side, Burnley, are saying, you know what? We've got other targets. Steve Cooper, him now gets it. Rob Edwards, nah, him now get it. I think Burnley will go for the ex-Liverpool man myself. You know what I mean? But I can, you know, it's gonna be an attractive job because that I've got money to spend. Yeah? That I've got corn, you know? I mean, Bellamy's been fantastic for Burnley in the past when he was with company and for Wales. I mean, he's got reputation out there, you know what I mean? Hard working, yeah? People even saying he's world class, yeah? Because, you know, the intensity, how he trains his teams on day-to-day, you know? I've always proved and bear a bit of fruits. Now, okay, never qualified for the World Cup, but he he pushed him. I listened to some of his press conferences, and I'll tell you what, I was impressed. That's why I'm saying, do you know what, with what's happening down at the lane, you know what I mean? Why not? I think they could do far worse than that anyway. Some people say that Bellamy's burnt his bridges as well. You know, after this Burnley something with the Clarets, got no legs in it now. Yeah. Even Norwich at one point, they kind of like created an awkward situation for Bellamy. You know, the big question is whether they keep him now as national manager. Now he's had his head turned. But I tell you what, I think he's still got a couple of years left on his contract. So if Wales now, I don't think they've got that much corn, really. I don't know what they've got, what their bank balance is. But if they was to get rid of Bellamy now, they're going to have to pay him some corn. They're going to have to pay him up. So I don't think they'll pull the trigger and say, listen, Bells, you kind of overstepped the mark. Yeah, had your head turned. We're questioning your commitment. I don't think they'll do that. I think they've set the tariff, the minimum they're going to get. If they're saying to Burnley, we want 700,000 compensation, right? I think they've set the bar. That is the minimum now. So if anybody wants them, that's the minimum. That's where you start negotiating. Or the bigger the club, the more they might have to pay. Yeah? I mean, when you think, how will the fans kind of react to that, you know? Meaning then, yeah, was Bellamy attracted to the Burnley job? Genuinely, because he were adamant, he ain't going anywhere. He's now going nowhere. Yeah? Or was it just the timing? Was it an uncomfortable situation? He's going to be a little bit frustrated. Also frustrated with Wales not making the cut for the World Cup. Yeah? Anyway, Mr. Bellamy, gonna kind of move on again. There's another story coming up. Potentially, is it racism again? You know, why do we keep kind of like chatting about it? Because the people who hold the key to the door, yeah, the big wigs, them, they don't business. That's what it is. They just don't business because, like we said, this ain't going to go away. And the younger generation have to, you know, get used to it. Fui generation, they see them. Sometimes we can front it up, depending on situation, circumstances, where are you, who you're with, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes we just have to just bite the bullet and just accept the apology and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like I said, depends on circumstances. Some people might say, nah, you have to deal with it there and then, but it depends what kind of arena you're in, yeah? What environment you're in, who you're working for, who you're not working for, yeah? You know what I'm saying, you know? But where I'm going with this, there was a comment from former German midfield player Schweinsteiger about the Ivory Coast. He said, right, his comments, right, what he made were a little bit kind of wild, and they were terrible kind of comments. And you know something? You're gonna get something kind of like you're gonna get something different in a bit. What is something then now? Alright. Now, come with it now. Now, come with it now, yeah? So, yes, Schweinsteiger, right, said about Ivory Coast, they dealt with them 2-1, right? But forget about the score for a minute, right? Ex-German midfield, right? And yeah, he was a decent footballer, but he's more not all decent, yeah, in a right and proper way. He said that the Ivory Coast, he said they played kind of a little bit wild, yeah, and could that be considered racist about the way that they play, or is he being very clever with it, with his mouth? Yeah, because I mean, like I hear some certain things. Like I said, down at the lane, I'm gonna share this with other people, but nobody tell anybody. Yeah, keep it to yourself. One time I can't remember what kind of team we were playing, but this black guy was on the ball, and let's just say he was number 10, right? So this guy shouts out, "Number 10, move yourself." Yeah? Tell him to get lost in a right and proper way. Now, since when have you been to a football match and somebody shout out, "Hey, number 10, shout out the man's number and tell him to do one"? Yeah? Could that be considered racist? Two sides of the coin, you know? Because if you challenge them, what are you on about? Number 10. Yeah, I don't know the guy's name. Well, actually, they've got names on the back of the shirt. So you fudge that for one, right? I mean, the guy was sat maybe 4 seats away from me, right? And I kind of listened carefully to that, and I did a little assessment, and I thought, can I take it a step further? Can I go dark pan it? The answer is no, because he's not come out verbally with anything racist. But could it be considered as racist? Well, yeah, of course it can be, because it's how I defined that, and it was the connotations that he used. You know what I mean? He was cute with it. Yeah? Too cute. You know? So, yeah. Schweinsteiger, before Germany beat the Ivory Coast in their Group E match. You know what I mean? He was saying that it's a bit African football. You know what I mean? So, you know, not much conditioned by tactics, right? Is that a racial slur? Because, like we said last week, how come nobody picked them up? Yeah? Nobody's not really picking them up. There's no kind of like every manners upon them. Yeah? So it was asked about the comments after the Ivory Coast qualified for the World Cup knockout stages, for the first time in history, by the way. Yeah? And like I said, just bear in mind what this ex-German international said about the Ivory Coast. Yeah? You know? What him said? It's a bit Africanish, isn't it? That's African football. Yeah? And it's a little bit wild. Yeah? Well, actually, you just managed to beat the wild side 2-1. It's not like you've dubbed them up. You know what I mean? And fling 7 upon them, or 8. It's just by the odd goal, innit? Yeah? But, you know, my message to them people out there is have some respect, man. You know what I mean? Yeah? And then you've got Yeah, well, it's a bit African-ish. It's kind of like a throw-out thing. You know what I mean? Now, the Ivory Coast man said, you know, the boss, Faye, said, well, I'm obviously disappointed by him. Suggested his comments were influenced by long-standing bias regarding African football. So he's saying that he's done it really for a bit of publicity, a bit of media, to cause a little bit of a fuss. You know what I mean? Now, the Ivory Coast used that, and they said, sure, you know, let's use that to our advantage. And then they smashed Curico 2-0 yesterday. And that's kind of like, I mean, for these kind of like pundits, man, them, yeah, let me go back in that little bitter funk business, yeah? Yeah, you quiet now. So, I mean, he retired, what, back in 2019. And a man should know better, innit? He's a pundit on, you know, German TV. His comments haven't really gone unnoticed, yeah? So-called wild play and a bit African-ish and, you know, not conditioned by tactics. I mean, maybe he was having a dig at the settlement history, going back to what, World War II, you know what I mean? With them naval and, you know, the little mashup they did in the Caribbean, yeah? Obviously, I'm referring to 1942, when the U-boat them, yeah? You know, apparently sank 336 ships. So you have somebody counting them and, you know, doing the stats back then. So stats have been around for a long time, you know. But like I said, why aren't the big figureheads stamping all this business out? Because I'll tell you what, Schweinsteiger, if we look at your theory, right, in fact, before I get in this, hydration break, soon come. Yeah, do you know what? Them hydration break, them wicked. Yeah? So going back, listen, if you've just kind of like rocked up, yeah, 1847, listen to Sweet Talking Sport, talking about, you know, unwanted comments by Schweinsteiger, the German man then. Yeah? So if we're looking at his theory, right, let's strip this down now. We're looking at the England... analyse England v Ghana. So England ranked fourth best. These are FIFA rankings, not mine. Fourth best in the world. Ghana 65th. Right? So we've got 0-0. Now, bearing in mind, this might depend on which side of the fence, which camp you're in. Yeah? Your England fan then will say, oh, chuck. Boring, you know, Ghana come with them spoiling up tactics. But the Ghana side now, you'll say, yo, tactical magic. You know what I mean? And this is what, from Group L. So the Ghana people them, yeah, the players, they set up, I think it was AU, up front on his own, right? And then the team set up in a lower block. So, tactical. Did it work? Of course it worked. Did it? Yeah, they didn't win the game, but they didn't lose it. If you can't win it, you don't lose it. Yeah, if you can't score, you make sure, say, your opposition can't score. All right, England, you know, O'Reilly hit the bar. Kean Blears over. Well, Guyana should have had a pen. Even the pundits are saying that. So imagine if they had a pen, bust that 1-0. So, hence, Schweinsteiger, right? About all them, I play them football. Yeah? Because You've got the fourth best ranked side in the world. You can't break down 65th ranked Guyana. Did Tuttle rely too much on the athleticism of the back line? Yeah. And when we're talking about speed, yeah, of players. So you're talking about the red twitch fibre, yeah? We're talking strength, high pain tolerance. You know what I mean? I say, where'd you get that from? Well, remember the belt. you raise your hand. Remember that? That's where the high tolerance comes in, from strength, agility. Now, this could be a little bit complex, genetic traits. So we've got the physicality with the movements and stuff, and the mentality, quick thinking. That's where I'm going with that. Yeah. Sweet Talking Sport, 1851. We're talking comments made by Schweinsteiger, you know, unwanted. Yeah. Unwanted comments made by him. And then, you know, so if we look at the back line, this is where I'm going with the athleticism, right? Just bear with me on this one, yeah? The back line against Guyana, James, thinks he may lie. Kone, he thinks he may lie. Gayu, he thinks he may lie. And Spence, four away, yeah? That's your athleticism, right? Now, just all that thought with them four players I've just mentioned, right? Now, I'm going to put a spin on it. Or is this another argument, right? Hold that thought. Now, people them I say, do you know what? Tuttle's got something about the manual boy them, yeah? Because he's not really playing him, innit? Kobbie Mainoo, sit on palm bench, just to warm it up. What did Rashford do? I think Rashford got minutes, didn't he? Yeah. Imagine now, you've got James, Konza, Gayu, Spence. They started. Imagine now, if you put him, Mainoo, instead of Anderson, Kyle, you're not going to leave out Rice, is it? Rice, baby. You can't leave him out. So you got the back line of four, yeah? James, Konza, Gayu, Spence. Imagine Kobbie comes in now for Anderson, right? I'll go deeper than that. Imagine now Rashford for Garden, yeah? Plus you got Madueke, who started, yeah? And then you have Jude, Mr. Bellingham. You're doing your maths, innit? You know where I'm going with this. Then you have eight. Yeah? You stay with me, yeah? James, Konza, Gayu, Spence. Yeah? Mainoo for Anderson. Rashford for Garden. You have Madueke, and you already have Bellingham in that starting lineup. Eight. You only get 11 starting. How is that going to look to the England hierarchy? How is that going to look to Nigel? Yeah? How is that going to look to the hardcore England fan? How is that going to look towards the nation? So, when, and I'm not saying this too lightly, you know, so when people are saying, you know, I mean, you've got Shearer saying it's about time you let Kobbie and Rashford in a hit. But it's going to be outbalanced, isn't it? And I'm, you know, is there a numbers game in the background? Yeah, you have that discussion amongst your friends, your family, your footballing family. Yeah, even them who don't like football. Look at this seesaw. Yeah, if you're upon a seesaw, right, and you have a heavyweight upon one side and a lightweight upon the other one, it now work. The balance now work. Yeah. So, is the hierarchy squeezing Tootle's chort to say, don't bother overload it? It's 1855, you know, 26th Friday, sweet talking sport. Yeah. You don't get this on any of the sports chat show. This is raw content, live and direct. Yeah. Just got like, say what, 5 minutes left. And I tell you what I'm going to do now. Just going to lighten up things, yeah? Because I've given it kind of heavy. So we're just going to just kind of lighten it up before things get... In fact, I was going to talk about the World Cup football then and a bit of spiel from Joe Hart and that. But you know what? I'm going to switch again. Gonna switch to American football, yeah. Coincide with the World Cup, but this is an interesting story. This, the NFL's Arnold, primary conspirator in alleged kidnapping, yeah. Another bad boy at it again, allegedly. Remember, me slipped that in, so nobody look for your compensation. Pam me, Detroit Lions cornerback, yeah. Now, this guy, Arnold, Terrion Arnold, only a youth man, 23. Like I said, so many men can't behave themselves. Yeah? That's his present team. Wide receiver. He's a cornerbacker. He prevents the wide receivers from catching the ball. Can he brook up play? Can he come with some kind of disturbance? Yeah? And these guys are fast as well. Allegedly kidnapped an armed robbery. 23-year-old. Do you know, this is... I mean, he's on a 4-year rookie contract. His deal is worth, bottom line, 2.72 mil. Yeah? And I'm going to get wrapped up in a... In a conspiracy to kidnap and armed robbery. Yes, sir. You know what I mean? So, you know, according to the B-side there, that's Tampa Police, investigation believed that Arnold was the primary conspirator. He was the main dude, that's what they're saying, in a robbery of 3 adult males in their late teens. Yeah? So, you see, I mix up. Yeah, so the police are saying... Arnold suspected that 2 of the 3 victims were responsible for this. So they're pointing the finger at Arnold anyway, right? Maybe because he's on 2.72 mil minimum. So the NFL player and some of the 6 co-defendants lured them to an apartment, right? Must entice them with some sweetie or something. So where... you know, the 3 teenagers were battered, held at gunpoint, right? And a pistol whip before their personal property was stolen and they were ordered to leave according to the police report, right? Also says that the defendant, you know, streamed the incident to Arnold and 2 others that they were travelling to the apartment. So not only have they, you know, arms them up, pistol whip them, well, that, you know, back of the head, little whiplash business. Serious assault, this, yeah? For what? And the guys on that amount of car? It's ridiculous. Listen, do you know what? I'm kind of like running out of time. Maybe I have to kind of like revisit that one. But I just want to say, you know, I hope you've enjoyed the ride. Hope you're going to lock back in next week too. I'm going to leave you with this one. I want a hydration break before me gone. In a bit.